for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. This is Lauren, and I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and podcast, which can both be found at realadultingiseasy.com. I'm joined today again by my little sister, Jenny. Hey, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been like a month or maybe longer, so I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So our goal, everyone, for today is to make adulting a bit easier for my little sister here and all of our listeners by explaining a personal finance topic to her, since managing money is a big part of adulting. So today, Jenny, I'm going to tell you about the four reasons to buy an investment property.
Ooh, and you're a little experienced in this, right?
A little.
A little bit. All right, cool. I'm excited.
Yep. It should be a nice short one for everybody.
Lego.
So it's easy to assume that people buy rental properties because they want to make money, right?
Yeah.
Rental properties, investment properties. Like, okay, we're going to make money. But what does that really mean? Do you know?
There's different ways to make money from a property.
Sure. What do you, have any ideas of what that might be? Like, mom and dad have had a rental property their whole lives, right?
Yes.
So
you have tenants. Mm-hmm. You put tenants in the place, and then they give you money monthly, right?
Right.
For rent.
Right. And then you have expenses, right, that you pay. Right? So that's one way to make money on investment property. That's good. That would be basically the cash flow. Investment properties can also, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a tenant. That happens to be how I do it and how mom and dad do it. Some people buy, like, land thinking it will appreciate, right? They don't put anybody on it. They don't get rent, but they're going to make money that way.
So what do they do with that land then?
They hold on to it and assume it's going to appreciate in value.
And then sell it?
Right, for more money than they pay for it.
Wow. Yeah. That's strange. So they don't actually do anything with the land? They don't put any...
Yeah, some people don't.
They don't put any more value in it? They just wait for the market
sure.
to change?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
That's interesting. Never heard of that.
Yeah, so there's four kind of reasons to make money on an investment property. The first one is what we were just talking about, appreciation. Mm-hmm. So we've talked before about homeowners' equity, right? But basically, you take what the property is worth, you subtract what you owe on it, and that's your equity.
Assets and liabilities.
Right. Assets minus liabilities equals equity.
Perfect.
Very
Learn
good.
That one.
The accounting formula. Whoa. You're learning. So let's take this house, for example, that we're in. It's worth about $350,000. We owe about $250,000 on it. So we have how much in equity?
$100,000.
Exactly. $100,000.
All right.
So it's under contract for a little more than $350,000. So with realtor's fees and everything taken out, it's going to be $90,000 to $95,000 cash that we get out of this. Which we're, of course, going to put into the other house immediately. So, so appreciation, right? If we, say we bought this place for $300,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it went up to $350,000. That would be more equity that we would get on top of the, whatever the down payment was.
So that means it was worth $50,000 more.
Right.
Okay.
And that doesn't go to the bank.
Right.
That goes to us. That value goes to us. The bank loan is the bank loan is the bank loan.
Got it.
So you can buy a property thinking it's going to appreciate in value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way to, quote unquote, make money, in the sense that when you sell it, you'll make money, but it's going to, even before you sell it, it's going to increase your net worth.
Right. Okay.
Right?
That makes sense.
Yep. The second way is cash flow. So this is what you're talking about with, like, mom and dad's rental property. And this is kind of the easy way to think about rental properties,
so with, like,
is the cash flow.
Okay.
Yes. With tenants. It's the difference between the rent and the cost associated with the property. So where people get into trouble here, in my opinion, and this is what I've seen on real estate forums, whether it's BiggerPockets or any of the other ones, people think my mortgage payment, which includes principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, is $1,200.
Wait, can you repeat that real quick? That was way too fast.
Principal, right? That's what you're paying down the balance of the loan with.
Yeah.
Interest is the interest you're paying on the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes is what you pay the government.
Right.
And insurance is what you pay the insurance company so that if your home blows away in a hurricane, you don't have to replace it yourself.
Okay.
Or
wow.
whatever.
There's a lot more factors than I thought there were
right.
for
so,
liabilities.
Right. It's interesting. It's very interesting. So the liability is the loan itself. Everything else mm-hmm. is, it's kind of liability, but it'd be short term.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So a mortgage payment is not just what you're paying on the house. What you do is you take all of the taxes you'll owe for the year and all of the insurance you owe for the year and you divide it by 12 and you pay it in little increments.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So some people think that once they take their rent, say their rent's $1,400 and their mortgage payment is $1,200, they think they're getting $200 in cash flow.
Okay.
Can you think about why that might not be true?
Can you repeat the situation here?
So I gotta think about it. So why is rent minus payment not really the cash flow? Is the payment the only thing you have to pay?
No, it's not.
What else is there?
Well, you just went over, like, taxes and stuff.
Well, so that's part of the payment. That's all part of the payment.
What else is there, then? You just named, like, four different factors.
What if the roof? What if you need a new roof?
Oh, you have to keep the house in check, the property.
In check. Oh. So there's two main kinds of expenses, right? Well, not expenses. Well, there's a capital expenditure, which is the roof, the AC, mm-hmm. right? So what you should do, and you should not count this as cash flow, is you should put a certain amount of money aside every month for those things. And then you should have cash flow on top of that.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And there's also repairs. Ice maker breaks, toilet gets clogged, you gotta have a plumber come out. Those are expenses. So there's capital expenditures, and then there's just like little expenses here and there. There's also vacancy. So you need to account for, say, 1 month a year, which would be a little less than 10%, right?
Where
that
there's
somebody's
no tenants.
Not going to be there.
Oh.
Right? And then there's also a property manager. For our duplex, for example, we have a property manager that we pay. Right? That's not cash flow. That's not going to me. It's going to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really...
But that's just a small percentage, right?
Yeah, 10%.
Right. 10%.
But still, so what we're bringing in, right, on the duplex from a rent perspective is $1,800. It's $900 each side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we have a property manager. We need to put money aside for when they need new ACs. Those ACs are getting pretty old. The roof's pretty new, so that should be okay. We also, sometimes they break things, right? Sometimes they break a window so that they can get in after, mm-hmm. you know, after they've abandoned the place. Sometimes they break in.
Okay.
And you have to fix windows. And things
so
like
outside
that.
Of payment, the question you asked me, outside of payment, you're basically implying, like, things that aren't foreseen, like accidents and stuff with
yeah,
the property.
You just have to have a certain amount set aside. So
yeah.
a good
for
yeah,
emergencies.
It might be 5%, 10%, whatever it is. So using the example we just had, say you're getting $1,400 per month. Well, no. Say your payment is $1,200, mm-hmm. right? And say you can get $2,000 in rent. Your payment's $1,200. You need to put, say, $100 aside for capital expenditures, $200 aside for your property manager, $100 aside for expenses, $100 aside for vacancy, right? And what's that difference? That's the cash flow.
You basically break even.
No, you don't.
Almost.
Well, that's why we paid cash for our duplex.
Okay.
So we don't have principal or interest. We just have taxes and insurance every year.
Okay.
Right?
That's why
we have our
proper cash.
It's good. It's
cash
been
expenses.
It's been especially good during the coronavirus when you are not allowed to evict people that aren't paying you rent.
Mm. Ooh,
I won't say
There's
any more. I won't say any more than that. But okay, so number one was appreciation. Number two is cash flow. A third way that you make money, so the third reason to buy an investment property, are tax breaks. So mortgage interest is tax deductible for either up to a $1 million home loan or up to a $750,000 home loan, depending on when it was attained. Actually, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which President Trump put into effect in 2017, I think that was, it changed it from $1 million to $750,000. So the interest you pay on your loan, which for us, maybe somewhere around $8,000-$9,000 a year, in interest on our loan is tax deductible. So, and what tax deductible...
oh, right, you reach that. And then
it lowers your gross income. So you don't, right, whatever you're paying in interest on your house, say it's $8,000, say you make $80,000, your taxable income is then $72,000.
Okay, cool.
So that's why you really...
So that's how you get a break from interest a little bit?
You get a break on your taxes.
Yeah.
You're still paying the interest, but you get a break on your taxes.
Okay.
So you can get tax breaks if you have a mortgage. What did I just say about the duplex? We don't have a mortgage on it, so we're not getting any tax breaks on it.
Mm-hmm.
We are hoping it has really good cash flow because we paid cash for it, and we're hoping for good appreciation because it's so close to downtown St. Pete.
Oh, okay, that was just number one and two right there.
Well, we just number three though, tax breaks we don't get. We
cool.
do get a tax break on our primary residence,
right? Because you have a mortgage on it.
Because we have a mortgage on it.
Okay.
Right. Right now we have two mortgages, but we're getting rid of this house in a couple weeks, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and dad don't get those tax breaks because they don't have a mortgage on their house
right,
anymore.
They own it.
Or the other one, or the rental. So they're not getting any of those tax benefits. But when you're 60, you should have a paid-off house, right? You don't need to be paying that just to get a tax break
right.
on it. It's a nice benefit, but...
They're in a good place right now.
Yeah, don't... people think sometimes be like, we should have a mortgage. It's tax deductible. Like, no, you don't... Like, that's not always
don't
good.
Don't aim for a mortgage.
That's not always good. But don't own your house for cash and finance your car.
Yeah.
Because the car loan's not tax deductible. You know what I mean? So, anyways. Okay, so number four is the loan pay down. This, again, is if you have a mortgage payment. So, again, using our example, let's say it's the $1,200 payment. Let's say that $300 of that is going towards the loan every
mm-hmm.
month. That means that owner, if they're getting rent, that owner's net worth is going up by $300 a month because the liability is going down by
okay.
$300 a month.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another benefit that you can get. Right, but if you can see here from what we're talking about, once you get to the point where, you know, if something has a lot of cash flow, it probably doesn't have a mortgage and probably doesn't get the tax breaks and the loan pay down. If something has the tax breaks and the loan pay down, it's going to have lower cash flow, right?
Oh, okay.
And so there's different investors really have different philosophies on what they're going for.
It's like a trade-off in some instances.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly right. So some investors, they're cash flow investors. They're like, I don't care if it appreciates a cent. I'm going to take my $300 per unit per month and I'm going to live off of it. Other people, they're like, I'm happy to break even because my house is in San Francisco and it's 1995 and it's going to go up in value 5 zillion%, you know?
Mm.
So does that make sense?
I understand that.
Yeah.
So there's benefits and trade-offs.
Right. So when you're talking about the benefits and how you can make money with an investment property, especially a rental property is what we're really talking about today, there's really four ways you can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Gotcha.
Our duplex, like I said, is a cash flow and an appreciation play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not about loan
because
payout.
You don't have a mortgage on it, so you don't get the
right, and the cash flow is good. We're hoping for appreciation. I was reading an article on Bigger Pockets recently, the seven metropolitan areas that have had the biggest rent increase in like the last so many years.
So I'm guessing like California, like
somewhere I don't know if there was anything in California on it. Like Phoenix was on there,
Vegas,
somewhere in Texas.
Your favorite place.
Do you know what number one was?
No.
St. Petersburg, Florida.
No.
63% in the last few years. Rent has gone up.
What?
Yes.
St. Petersburg?
Number one.
Skyrocketing?
Number one. It was number
wow.
one on this list.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Which means the value of all rental properties is going up.
So that's a good thing, I guess.
It's a good
but
thing for me.
For you.
It's kind of a
not
bummer.
Not people who are paying rent.
It's a bummer if you rent.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
St. Pete.
I know. I just clicked on it.
Were you
like,
expecting
no,
that?
No, I was not expecting that.
So that's like a national thing in St. Pete, Florida.
Yes, I'll show you. I'll show you the article when we get down here.
That's crazy.
So anyways, that's what I prepared for you today. As always, everybody, managing money is a huge part of adulting. Investing is a huge part of managing money. So, Jen, did you learn a lot today?
Yeah. I had no idea that St. Petersburg was... Wow, like leading the nation.
Yep, exactly.
That's crazy.
So you can find the Adulting is Easy blog, 4 reasons to buy an investment property at realadultingiseasy.com, posted in June of 2020.
You can follow us on Twitter at Adulting is Easy. We're also on Facebook. And you can email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com. You could also show your support at patreon.com/adultingiseasy.
Thanks again, everybody, for listening. We hope we made adulting a bit easier for you today.